Welcome, friends. Melanie Hurlbut here with Psalm 55. Today, we join with David in deep anguish over betrayal of the worst kind. Family and friends uniting against him. Have you experienced this kind of pain? Your heart is open and unprotected because of your relational intimacy. And wham, without seeing it coming, the sword of betrayal gets past all your defenses and plunges deep into your heart. Psalm 55 doesn't specify what this betrayal is all about. But most scholars think David is referring to Absalom's rebellion, when Absalom conspired to steal the hearts of all Israel in an attempt to seize David's throne. 2 Samuel chapters 15 to 17 tell this story. Let's join David now and listen in to the intensity of his prayers in the midst of this devastating moment. Verse 1. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. For they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. David is crying out to God for help. He needs God to hear and answer. His thoughts are troubled, getting the better of him. He's distraught, extremely worried about what his enemy, his own son Absalom, is plotting. This is complex. What do you do when the people who are conspiring against you are people you love? You wish them good, not harm. But they want to see you destroyed. But what is worse? Nathan had warned David about 12 years earlier in 2 Samuel 12, when he confronted him about his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, that the impact of his sins would so infect his loved ones that family struggles and warfare would characterize the latter years of David's reign. Little did David know that the family struggles and warfare would end up being directed at himself. So David knows, at his most basic heart level, that he shares responsibility for Absalom's rebellion that is now undermining the security of his home and throne. How do you even begin to pray when you're in this kind of a mess? David prays in verse 4. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. It's one thing to cry out for help when you know you're innocent. But what about when you know you're reaping the consequences of your own sin? Deeply forgiven by God, but with consequences nonetheless. Listen as David describes his inner world in prayer to God. My heart is in anguish. The terrors of death have fallen on me. David had seen what Absalom is capable of when he killed his brother Amnon. But now, that kind of fury is directed towards him. Horror has overwhelmed me. David opens his heart, hiding nothing before the Lord, trusting God's kindness, refusing to hide in shame. Verse 6. I said, Oh, that I had the wings of a dove! I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter far from the tempest and storm. What does David long for before God? A way of escape. To fly away to a place of shelter and rest. To stay in the desert far from the tempest and storm. Ironically, David is dreaming here of his wilderness days when he was on the run from Saul, hiding in caves and finding the Lord's shelter in the desert. Things were simpler then. David knew he was innocent and Saul was guilty. But now, because of his own sins, things are so much more complex. And so, as the story unfolds in 2 Samuel 15, David chooses to escape Jerusalem so that Absalom won't put the whole city to the sword. With his household, his standing army and their families, David crosses the Kidron Valley, goes up the Mount of Olives, heading towards the wilderness. Now let's listen in again as David's prayers unfold in tandem with the Lord's work to intervene in the midst of this mess. Verse 9. Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls, malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city, threats and lies never leave its streets. Did you notice David's vivid pictures of the destructive forces that are being unleashed on his beloved Jerusalem? David personifies violence and strife, describing them as prowling lions circling about on the city walls. Malice and abuse have moved into the city, and threats and lies have stationed themselves along all of Jerusalem's streets. David seems to understand that sin leaves people, communities, cities vulnerable, that rightly should be filled with and protected by the presence of the Lord. And so, David prays for the Lord to confuse the wicked and confound their words. He longs for the creative goodness of God's life-giving word to thwart the work of his enemy and prevail in this situation. But David's anguish is palpable. Verse 12, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it's you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God, as we walked about among the worshippers. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. David's enemy, his foe, isn't someone you would expect. He says, it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God. The shocker for David is that Ahithophel, David's most trusted counselor, has gone over to Absalom. Why on earth would he do such a thing? Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. And remarkably, he had stuck with David through the 12 years since his adultery with his granddaughter and the murder of her husband, Uriah. Why on earth would he do such a thing? So what pushed Ahithophel now over the edge to side with Absalom? Scripture isn't clear, but perhaps he shared Absalom's sense of injustice that Solomon, the young son of David and Bathsheba's union, had been promised to be heir to Israel's throne. This kind of resentment is not hard to imagine. After all, we know in our own hearts that it's easy for friends and family to hold on to a grudge, even when the one sinned against has extended forgiveness. With fear and trembling, this psalm makes me pray, Lord, help me not to hold a grudge, but to forgive generously like you. And to make matters worse, Ahithophel's advice was known to be like that of one who inquires of God. So David prays for Ahithophel's counsel to be turned into foolishness, and for death to take him and the other conspirators by surprise. What happens next in David's story is remarkable. Hushai, David's close friend, meets up with David on the Mount of Olives. He agrees to join with Absalom alongside Ahithophel to accomplish a twofold task: to persuade Absalom contrary to Ahithophel's wise advice, and to warn David so that he's not entrapped by Absalom's plans. And so David, in verse 19, entrusts himself and his throne to God, who is enthroned from of old, knowing that the King of Kings is the one who ultimately sets up and deposes earthly rulers. So how does the story end? Scripture tells us that Absalom considered Hushai's advice to be better than Ahithophel's, because the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom. And so David exhorts us to pray in verse 22, even when life is a mess, saying, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken, even when the righteous are, as the Gaitha vocal band sings, just sinners saved by grace.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.